From the KTO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. State health officials are reporting that there is now a record high of 400 active COVID-19 cases of 940 Alaskans who have tested positive. The increase in active cases also was a new daily high for the state. Officials reported 48 confirmed COVID-19 cases on Monday. That's also a new record daily high. There were 36 Alaskans and 12 non-residents reported to have tested for the virus. Of the residents, 21 were from Anchorage, 5 from Fairbanks, 4 from Seward, 2 from Palmer, 1 each from Eagle River, Juneau, Soldotna, and a community in the Valdez-Cordova census area that the state didn't name. 8 of the non-residents work in the seafood industry, including 5 in Bristol Bay and Lake and Peninsula boroughs, 2 in Sitka, and 1 in the Dillingham census area. There also were 2 who work in tourism in the Kenai Peninsula borough and additional individual non-residents in Anchorage and the Kenai Peninsula borough. The number of people hospitalized who are either COVID-19 positive or under investigation increased by 2 from 16 on Sunday to 18 on Monday. There were no new deaths reported. Juneau will not see a downtown fireworks show this Independence Day weekend after all. At its meeting last night, the Juneau Assembly reversed an earlier decision to hold the July 3rd show by failing to approve a mandate requiring face masks at the event. When Assembly members voted 5-4 last week to hold the fireworks, they did it with the understanding that the city would also require people to wear face masks while attending the event. But mandating face masks required an emergency ordinance. That type of legislation needs 6 votes to pass rather than a simple majority. And so, with 4 Assembly members voting for the mandate and 5 against it, it failed. That means the show will be canceled. The Assembly passed another emergency ordinance Monday, extending the requirement to wear face masks on public buses and in public areas of the city buildings for 3 more months. The city of Kotzebue recently lifted its mandatory COVID-19 closure order for churches. The city had enacted an emergency order in late March to close them to the public, as well as restaurants, entertainment, and recreation facilities. Any church wishing to reopen to the public had to submit a plan to the city showing how they would operate and maintain social distancing guidelines. KOTZ's Wesley Early has more on how one of several churches in Kotzebue reopened to their followers.
Walking into the Kotzebue Church of God for the first time in months, parishioners were in for some changes.
As you've noticed, I've taken out a row of seats and spaced the seats out a little bit. We do have face coverings back there. If you want one, they're available to you. There's hand sanitizer all over.
That's Pastor Andy Terry. Adapting to changes is nothing new for Terry, who arrived in Kotzebue from his previous Tennessee church in January.
It was about negative 50, negative 60 wind chill when I got here. All the pipes of the church were frozen. And it was just, I got here and we went to work.
He said he traded many of his clerical duties for more hands-on work, like plumbing. The church had been without a pastor for about a year and a half, leaving a lot of work unattended to. From February to March, Terry began slowly working to reestablish a presence for the church in Kotzebue, and parishioners started showing up.
Things were going great. Our Wednesday nights and Sundays, we were running, you know, in the mid-20s, which is pretty good for a town this size. And then COVID-19 jerked the rug out from under us.
Like many churches across the state, the Kotzebue Church of God has been shuttered since March. Reopening churches meant walking a fine line between allowing people to return to their normal activities and keeping them safe. Terry was one of several pastors who called into a city council meeting in mid-June asking for the chance to reopen responsibly.
I genuinely feel like they had our best interest at heart, and you know, why would I fight that? But as I mentioned in the city council meeting, you know, 3 months later, I had time to educate myself.
In order to reopen, Terry had to make sure that face masks, hand sanitizer, and spaced out seating was available to followers. Though most health mandates say you need to be 6 feet apart to prevent the spread of COVID-19, it's bumped up to 10 feet in places where there will be singing, which Terry complied with. While nothing is mandatory, during his first Sunday service in months, Terry asked his audience to be respectful of how others choose to go to church.
I can't wear one, because if I did, I'd sound like Charlie Brown's teacher, okay? So I don't have one. If you don't choose to wear one, we're not going to force you to come to church and wear a face mask. I feel like our seating's adequate enough to provide some space. So that is totally up to you. I just don't want anybody who chooses to come in with one to be made to feel uncomfortable.
Aside from access to personal salvation, one of the biggest impacts to churches has been financial. Terry says his church is part of a wider network of churches statewide, so they were able to get a bit of help. Additionally, he says the church's dedicated followers made the effort to pay their tithings.
One of the ladies that was here this morning, would call me up and say, I'm leaving my house now and I'm walking to your, this was back when it was 30 below outside, and I'm walking to the church now to bring my tithe. And we weren't even having church then.
However, COVID-19 has affected everyone in Kotzebue, and Terry says other churchgoers in town weren't as lucky.
You've got people here in Kotzebue who are working in the hotel industry or working in the restaurant business. You know, they might have hit hard times. That's going to impact the church. I've been fortunate. A lot of the people that we have in this church are school teachers, so their salary has continued. They've been able to continue to support the church. So that makes a big difference. Makes a big difference.
Terry acknowledged another group of followers that his church gained in the pandemic. Like many pastors across the country, he began to move online. He would pre-record a sermon and upload it to Facebook for his parishioners. However, he began to notice that parishioners from other states and even other countries began to both tune in and offer gifts and tithings. Moving forward, Terry says that he's going to keep broadcasting sermons over social media. He says, for better or worse, COVID-19 has opened his eyes to how to reach people.
You could have two people in your service and reach somebody 5,000 miles away. I mean, it's eye-opening, and I think a lot of pastors who never really thought about that, they thought about their calling being to the people under the roof of their church. But that's not what our calling is. Our calling is to reach whomever.
There were about 10 people in the church pews for a sermon on Sunday. Terry says a similar number came in for their first Wednesday night service. He's hopeful that moving forward, he'll be able to continue to bring the gospel to his audience, both in the pews and on the web. Reporting in Kotzebue, I'm Wesley Early.
Nearly half of Thorn Bay's city council here in Southeast is facing a recall election today. As KRBD's Eric Stone reports, proponents of recalling 3 of 7 elected officials in the Prince of Wales Island community accuse city leaders of improprieties stemming from an ousting of the city administrator.
Days before his contract was set to lapse at the end of February, then Thorn Bay City Administrator Wayne Benner was suspended by the acting mayor, Eric Rhodes.
There were numerous reasons as given in the written notice.
Rhodes says Benner failed to properly file for a multi-million-dollar road building grant and pointed to friction between Benner and city staff. Benner submitted his resignation soon after he was suspended, according to Rhodes. Benner is not listed in the phone directory and could not be reached for comment. Recall proponents reached for the story wouldn't speak on tape, but Thorn Bay residents David Eggleston and Gregory Kirchhoff circulated a mailer to Thorn Bay voters saying the city administrator's suspension was improper. They pointed to a section of the municipal code that says only the city council can fire or suspend the city's top manager. Both proponents say the mayor violated the state's Open Meetings Act, which prohibits a quorum of elected officials from talking about official business. 3 members in all are alleged to have improperly discussed the ouster and are now facing recall. Rhodes denies doing anything improper.
There never was a meeting outside of the Open Meetings Act, and the actions of suspension were legal.
Voters head to the polls in Thorn Bay on Tuesday. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
A company that wants to use an advanced balloon to fly customers from Earth's surface in Alaska to the highest reaches of the planet's atmosphere. The Anchorage Daily News reported a Florida-based startup firm Space Perspective plans to use the Pacific Spaceport Complex in Kodiak to serve as one of the launch sites for the vehicle called the Spaceship Neptune. The balloon rides will be managed by a flight crew taking 8 passengers in a pressurized capsule suspended beneath a hydrogen balloon the size of a football stadium. Each passenger could pay an estimated $125,000 for a 6-hour journey. And a proposed project in Alaska would use federal coronavirus funds to help restaurants feed residents experiencing homelessness or food insecurity. The Juneau Empire reported the Juneau CARES Act program administered by the United Way of Southeast Alaska would pay up to $1 million to restaurants to prepare and serve food to some of the city's most vulnerable residents. This is KTOO News.